Good morning and welcome. Here we are. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, 608. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Socialist Democrats creeping their way in. That'll be one of the topics of discussion this morning. Some good news on the job fronts, and to talk about some of that as it relates to AI, actually, will be Erica Donalds. She is the wife of, the Donalds, that's Byron Donalds, that's running for the governor. Yeah. And she's big into education, and she's going to join us. She's founder of the Education Freedom Foundation, in fact. And that'll be at 9:05. If for any reason you can't catch it, you got the podcast, The Bob Rose Show. Search it. Click on follow on any of the platforms. All right. iHeart, Spotify, Odyssey, all that. Okay? That way, these are important issues we're facing. I don't want you to miss the information that you need. Trump, Vegas, hanging out, having a good old time. And he was touting the results of his economic policies, including 40,000 new jobs for the folks in Nevada. Ooh. Since his second term began. He highlighted his administration's economic wins in the Silver State and nationally while delivering remarks at Red Rock Casino. And it was rocking. Here in Nevada, we've created over 40,000 new jobs, lifted nearly 100,000 Nevadans off of food stamps. They don't want to be on food stamps because they've got new jobs. Nice. They've got jobs. They don't need food stamps. He went on to note that more Americans are working now than ever before. It is about time. The media needs to give the president some credit. But the lefty media, I guess it's just beyond them. They just won't. They won't do that. They won't do anything that would make him look good.
Yeah.
All right. We're all over the place this morning. Let's go to Michigan. Abdul El-Sayed. He's in. He is the winner. It was a very tight race, which polls had him, they said, double digits. Everybody was in on it. Detroit Free Press, mm-hmm. all of them, several polls, all had him with double-digit or close to double-digit leads before the election. And he won by a smidgen. And if that Mallory wasn't in it, he probably would have lost.
Yeah, probably.
So, yeah. Mike Rogers, I guess, and some Republicans are happy because it'll be such a distinct difference between a Republican and a socialist running. The Republicans always have a challenge of getting their message out. But here's what the president had to say about El-Sayed.
Abdul El-Sayed, lovely gentleman. He's a man of hate. And now he's going around saying, no, I love everybody. He doesn't love everybody. Put him in office. You're going to find out what he loves. He doesn't love Israel.
Nope.
He doesn't love Jewish people. Mm-hmm. He hates them. He hates them with a passion that burns in his heart.
Yeah, and he also went on at some point, and this was earlier in the day, not in Nevada, but
yeah.
He said, El-Sayed, that guy is full of, he didn't say hot air.
He's not subtle. President's not subtle.
No.
No, he's not.
No. And, but just, distinct to the point.
Yes.
Captured it. We'll get more into that. But the president, look, he's talking about the economy, and that is what you have to. You have to defend capitalism because they taught the young people in school capitalism bad. The United States is bad. We're an evil nation. We kill people. We ruin lives. We're what are we? We're phobic. We're all kinds of phobics.
Uh-huh.
We're also all kinds of racist. We're bigots. We're this. We're that. That's what they've been taught. So now they get out of school and they're open to the idea of socialism. And it is so interesting that you could be so completely ignorant about what that is and what it represents and yet still be highly educated.
It is.
The Republicans have the task of trying to explain how capitalism is so much better and try to get them to believe it. But it's going to take action as well. The vice president touched on this a little bit. He was talking to Laura Ingraham. And he said, look, here you've got highly educated people. They have degrees, advanced degrees in some cases, and not really sellable skills per se, because a lot of those colleges sold him a bag of goods. It's not just, and I don't know who, I didn't teach my kids that. I taught my kids, I said, listen, you try to get that degree, that four-year degree, that gives you a lot of options. You don't have to follow through with whatever, you know, you've learned or whatever your degree is in, but at least you've got that in your back pocket, and it could come in handy at any time. But if you decide not to do that, that's fine. But always with the thought that whatever you do, you've got to be able to make money at it. That's right. The idea. You have to feed yourself at some point. I will not be feeding you.
What were we thinking?
Well, we were thinking correctly.
I know.
But these some of these kids, you know, they've got these, you know, like African studies.
Right.
What exactly do you do with that? And by the way, we're not talking about a black person getting a degree in African studies.
No,
we're talking about pasty white people.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do with that? I mean, you could teach some other fools who want to learn African studies. It's just bizarre.
This goes back to the proverbial underwater basket weaving. I mean, that's that used to be the example.
It's
like there are some silly things that people are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to learn.
Do you want to be a lawyer? Do you want to be a doctor? Do you want to be an engineer? What do you want? Do you want to get into, you know, computers, IT? That's wide open field. Now, you know, AI. What do you want to do? What excites you? What interests you? And then go from there. But no, they've got these degrees that are useless. So, and they hear, of course, they get the lefty news, and all they hear is, you'll never have a house. You'll be 41 years old now on average before you own a house. You know, you're never going to live your version of the American dream, which is interesting because the American dream might be slightly more difficult to attain than it has been in the past to some degree. Instead of the American dream, you go full bore socialist, which, of course, is a fancy cover-up word for communism.
Mm-hmm.
See, the idea of social media. Social studies, all those things. Social's good. Hey, you want to go to the social tonight?
Well, they even go down the road of, look, we've had socialism forever. I mean, Social Security, Medicare, those are all forms of socialism,
and so is public education, frankly.
Uh-huh.
Forms of it, parts of it.
Right.
But how are those things funded? They're funded through
capitalism.
Capitalism
yes.
pays for your socialism and communism. But once you start to squeeze that, once you squeeze it and tamp it down, take the wealth, you know, throw the creators out of you know, New York or tax them out of New York, whatever the case may be, pretty soon that pool of money starts to shrink. Now how are you going to pay for that socialism and communism? And these are pretty, you know, basic logical arguments, but ones that it's hard. Look, you want to tell the Republicans what to say. And you can say it, you can scream from the top of a building, but as long as you're attached, even by the thinnest of tentacles, to Donald J. Trump, they will not listen to a word that is coming out of your mouth. And that leads to ignorance when you're not going to listen. You'll never learn, which is interesting because the left used to pride themselves in being the ones that were open-minded. That certainly is not the case anymore. Good morning and welcome. It is 6:16. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. We've got great guests lined up. We've got a lot of information, top stories. What's the latest with Iran? Coming up next, 97.3 The Sky. Rise and shine. Let's attack that day, baby. Come on. Pump it up. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 6:21, your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It was this day, August 6, 1945, the United States becomes the first and only nation to use atomic weaponry during wartime when it drops an atomic bomb on the Japanese city of Hiroshima.
Wow.
Approximately 80,000 people are killed as a direct result of the blast. Another 35,000 are injured. At least another 60,000 would be dead by the end of the year from the effects of the fallout. Mm. And since 1940, the United States have been working on developing an atomic weapon after having been warned that Nazi Germany was already conducting research into nuclear weapons. By the time the United States conducted the first successful test that was exploded in the desert New Mexico in July of 45, Germany had already been defeated. But the war against Japan in the Pacific continued to rage. So President Harry S. Truman, warned by some of his advisors that any attempt to invade Japan would result in horrific American casualties, ordered that the new weapon be used to bring the war to a speedy end.
Wow.
What a concept, huh? Speedy end to a war?
Yeah. It just, you know, I mean, we struck at the heart of a civilian population. And
right.
That's not how you want to do it. Sometimes you don't have a choice.
Well, that's what the president keeps saying. He doesn't want to kill anybody.
But war is hell. And I don't know, extending this thing with Iran, I mean,
yeah.
The use of nuclear weapons is the reason why we're at war with them.
Uh-huh.
Because we believe that a nation that funds terrorism all over different proxy groups won't be afraid to use a nuclear weapon as a form of terror. And that truly is terrorizing.
Mm-hmm.
So, how are things going? Now, it depends on who you ask. The Iranian Foreign Ministry said on Tuesday that talks with Oman, which basically they're pals in many ways.
So that means nothing to us, really.
Well,
I mean, it does in the sense of what they do.
It does, yeah. It does in the sense of whose side are you on, because they're,
yes.
You know, you're going to have to choose, maybe.
Yeah.
And so they've had talks with Oman to exert permanent control over the Strait of Hormuz and say they're making progress. But remember, this is coming from the Iranian Foreign Ministry, who've lied and said, we're not having any talks. We're not talking to the U.S. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. So as efforts to forge a close partnership with Pakistan, which was until very recently billing itself as a neutral mediator in the conflict between the U.S. and Iran, the Foreign Ministry spokesman said there's been positive movement in discussions with Oman over controlling the Strait of Hormuz, with an eye toward extorting fees from international shipping through the vital waterway. I just thought that was number two, right behind no nukes, and it's going to be no interference with the Strait of Hormuz. I thought that, I know that we've made that abundantly clear that that's the deal.
But the Iranians and Omanians, if that's what they are, I mean, they were having these talks weeks ago and trying to basically, you know, charge tariffs or tax to go through there. So this is to say that there's talks going on with other countries. Yeah, they may be talking, but this is just kind of like their own little conspiracy thing going on.
And at least some that are speaking on the behalf of the regime are saying that, oh, it's very difficult to communicate with their own leader.
Oh, the Ayatollah, that guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one we haven't
seen or heard from. Not even, there's no...
He sends messages once in a while.
We don't know if he's alive. We don't know if he's writing those messages. We have no idea. So kind of flying blind when it comes to, like, who are you dealing with? I mean, it could be a group that has really very limited power.
Mm-hmm.
Will they really be in control of the IRGC if they really do tell them to stand down? Will they listen?
That's been the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not going to do anything. And then they're, you know, lobbing bombs or rockets at ships.
Meanwhile, Marco Rubio, who, you know, has 20 jobs already, he stays busy. Apparently, the United States and Paraguay on Tuesday signed a memorandum of understanding on strategic civil nuclear cooperation. This creates the space for the U.S. to assist Paraguay in its development of civil nuclear energy projects, ensuring the highest standards of nuclear safety, security, and non-proliferation. So this has nothing to do with nuclear weaponry, just as a energy source. Secretary Rubio emphasized that this marks another step in the continued growth of the relationship between the United States and Paraguay, noting that such agreements further institutionalize the deep ties between the two nations. When is the last time Do you recall us having any article, any information, any that Paraguay was in the news?
Not at all. We don't even think about them, to be quite frank.
So. No. I mean, hey, good for Marco Rubio. Any kind of agreement that's, you know, we're going to have safety first and foremost when it comes to, you know, nuclear energy, that's all a good thing. It just is interesting that it's like, where? How did Paraguay come up out of all of this?
Yeah.
I mean, he can walk and chew gum at the same time. I mean, you're capable of that. I just wondered, usually you get a little bit of a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
And this, to me, kind of came out of nowhere to some extent.
He's a busy guy.
All right. Meanwhile, creeping socialism and the creepy people who are pushing it, promoting it, and voting for it. Details on all of that coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Happy Thursday. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Oh, man, a crazy Crockett story. I didn't know how much we'd hear from her. Yeah.
I think we'll always hear from
her. Crazy Crockett. Yeah, because we'll sing her, well, not her praises.
Her craziness.
Yes.
Her crazies.
Exactly.
We'll sing her crazies.
Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here at 6:38. We're taking care of business on this Thursday. And Jasmine Crockett. And, you know, she's radically left.
Oh, yeah.
And she's unsure, though, this is coming out, that if Texas Democrat Senate candidate James Tallarico will be able to flip Texas blue. Good God help us.
Wow.
I hope not. When I look at the money, if Republicans start spending money in Texas, then I'll be convinced, she said. But right now, national Republicans decided they wanted to dump money into North Carolina as well as Georgia. That's where they're fighting. And national Democrats have not decided to dump money into Texas either. And she said, I won't go on the ground to really start to feel it until maybe the end of September or October as I start to dig into which races I'm going to help out, the races that I really feel we can win. And her response isn't surprising, apparently, given that she blamed her primary loss against Tallarico on racism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course she does.
Yep.
That's her thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of people's thing and getting pretty tiring.
Yeah, it is.
You know, we had the story of an author who got busted for using AI to cancel his $2 million contract. And because it's happened to other black authors, automatically it's racism. I mean, if they're allowing white authors to use AI to the same extent, then, yeah, you might have a case there, but I don't know that...
You better find a way to prove it, then.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you spout that stuff.
All right, New York.
Yeah?
I can't believe people voted for this guy, Mamdani. I mean, it is just bizarre. Anyway, he's there. He's in there. He's the mayor, but recently he got booed. It was an NYPD Staten Island event, and he flees the stage in less than a minute.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. He was battered by boos before he quickly exited the stage in Staten Island Tuesday. It was a pro-police celebration.
What was he doing there then? He's a Democrat socialist. They don't like the cops.
He just thought, there's a crowd there. I love me some me. I'll get up there and, you know, and I'll talk and they'll, you know, they'll cheer or enough people will cheer.
Uh-huh.
Was it his appearance drew loud jeers, not cheers, and a tirade of profanities, apparently, from attendees as the Democratic socialist made his way up to the podium and they basically shouted him down to leave.
Wow.
Yep. He's known for trying to get the spotlight and soaking it up and delivering his bloated speeches. But, he wasn't able to pull it off in Staten Island. They said, no way. Which causes you to wonder, will he or will he not show up at the 9/11 event this year? What are we marking? What is it? 2025? Yeah.
Well, it was 2001, so yeah.
Yeah, 25. It's kind of a big... Yeah. You know, quote-unquote anniversary.
That's going to be interesting. I know it leaves you speechless.
Well, you've got a candidate running for Senate in Michigan, this Al Sayed. He pals around with that bozo.
Oh yeah,
that has the what's his claim to fame? He has a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'll think of his name in a minute. But anyway,
Piker, is that the guy you're talking about?
Piker, yeah. He's Hassan Piker. He's bad news.
Oh, yeah.
And he's one of the more outrageous things he said, but there's plenty, that America deserved 9/11.
Right.
Now, how radical could you be to say something like that, not just out loud, drunk in a bar, but to say it in a podcast where you have a very large following, apparently. You should show up at the 9/11 event, and you should look into the faces of the kids who grew up without a dad. Talk to the widows that lost their husbands, both in the building and the firefighters that perished as well. Look at those people and tell them that America deserved that attack on 9/11. America. Could you be more hateful than to make a statement like that? Isn't that pure evil and hate at work?
Yes, absolutely.
We deserved 9/11. We deserved it. He says that. He believes that. And that is sickening. And a guy who pals around with him, Al Sayed, very well could be the next senator from Michigan? That's grotesque. And why? Well, I know why. The Democrats allowed these socialists.
Yep.
They're a parasite. They need a host. You understand how that works, right? Uh-huh. Fleas need a host, things like that. Lice needs a host. All bad things like that need to suck off of a host because they're parasitic. They can't survive without a host. But what could eventually happen? The parasite could actually kill the host. Well, that's precisely what's going to happen with the Democrat socialists. They're going to eat the other Democrats. And the Democrats are already putting themselves in the pot, turning up the heat.
Yeah, but Jay Paul says it's a big tent, Bob. There's room for everybody.
Yeah.
As long as we beat MAGA.
Yeah, here's what's going to happen in that tent. The Democrat socialists, when they gain more power, are going to take one step outside the tent and then fumigate everybody inside.
Well, I think the process has begun.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. And the Democrats are so short-sighted and so desperate for any kind of power and want to beat the Republicans, they're willing to sleep with Satan himself to try to gain more power.
But they're not going to have power.
No, but they don't. They're too short-sighted. They don't see where this is headed. 6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Carl Zalek will be one of our guests coming up later on this morning, as well as Erica Donalds, the founder of the Education Freedom Foundation. More headlines, important stories. It's all coming your way. Stick around. 97.3 The Sky. Six:50 on the Bob Rose Show, 10 minutes till 7 o'clock. Good morning. Welcome. Greg Cassidy is here as well. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
Greg's coming back. He's going to come back really strong. He's getting there.
Getting there.
The prayers help and antibiotics help.
I can't believe I said that off air because I'm like the word Nazi, okay? I'm just going to say it myself. So I said, did I say that? He goes, yeah, you did.
Which is rare. So I had to point it out. I had to be a Greg to him.
I'm still a very little sleep here, though. So there's
Look, I'm going to let you off the hook easy because Lord knows I
can't bring it up live on the radio for everyone to hear.
Lord knows I can't, cast stones.
That's true.
All right. President Trump was in Vegas. He touted all the jobs he has been creating. The economy is doing well. But yet, the polls show him at, about 42% approval rating with the economy.
Yeah.
How can you be underwater with the economy? I mean, look, The U.S. is a giant ship. You turn it slowly. Mm-hmm. For him to be able to accomplish what he has done, getting all this foreign investment, we haven't even seen the fruits of all of it yet.
Oh,
it's going to build momentum. It's going to keep going and going if we can get through the midterms and, not lose a bunch of seats. It can keep on going. But he's not going to get credit for it in the mainstream media.
No.
But he has put the pieces in place in 18 months or so. Really, decades, the things were not done the way they should have been done, both in foreign policy and the way we deal in trade, for instance, mm-hmm. and the amount of jobs we were allowing to go overseas.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting. You know, part of that is, we'll call it the greed of Wall Street, and we're all guilty if you have a 401k or any investments, but, you know, the greed of Wall Street, hey, we can run this, you know, this whole deal cheaper. We'll just export it all out to Mexico or China or whatever the case may be. And isn't it interesting that he is fighting all of that, bringing jobs back to America, and yet the market's responding in a positive way, a hugely mm-hmm. positive way. Isn't that interesting?
But the networks?
Yeah.
Are they talking about it?
No.
No,
of course not. All right. And we'll dig into some of that. Quiz or poll, I guess. Is Rand Paul going to be successful in anything that would be punitive toward Dr. Fauci? Is he going to be able to do that? Look, I think Fauci is, man, his hands are dirty. He's got blood on his hands.
Yep.
I think he's a slime ball, self-centered scumbag. His own pen, his own hand damns him to all of that. He lied and lied and lied to the American people. It's just atrocious behavior, especially shouldn't a person who had so much power, shouldn't they be held to a higher standard? And yet it looks like he's going to, weasel his way out of it. I mean, they're not done with him yet. Rand Paul seems to think that there's enough and, that they have some legal room to move forward.
Right.
I don't know what those mechanisms are going to be. I just, it's another one of those subjects where you get tired of talking about it because you don't get the perp walk.
Nope.
Clearly the man has done wrong, done the American people wrong on a scale that none of us, you can barely relate to it. That's the scale. But if you or I step out of line,
oh man,
you're going to do the time.
Jumpsuit,
yeah,
orange jumpsuit. You
better, you better believe it.
Now, our own AG Uthmeyer, though, been talking to Rand Paul. Looks like he's trying to do some things. And again, you do like you did with the mobs back in the day. You've got to go a different angle to try to get them because you can't really get them for what they're really guilty of.
Yeah.
So we'll see
what
happens.
What can you get? What can you find? What did he know? When did he know it? But remember, you're going to have to get him on state stuff.
Exactly.
Probably to be successful because, he's already been given the federal pardon.
Right.
Even though it shouldn't have covered all it did, but it is what it is, as they say. Wednesday, MS Now, the weeknight. A guest, Governor Abigail Spanberger, the Democrat out of Virginia, predicted that Democrats would flip at least 2 and up to 5 seats in the midterm elections. Spanberger said this started, frankly, back in the 2020 election when President Trump said he needed to find, a couple thousand votes out of Georgia. And then when the plan didn't work, it was a couple of congressional seats in Texas. And then we saw state legislatures take action to appease the president and essentially change the maps to try. But just because of the, historical voting tendencies doesn't mean that a seat necessarily is going to swing in a particular election. And she said ultimately our Supreme Court struck it down. That's when they were trying to change when they did change the maps. And they tried to stop that. And they tried, Democrats, when they tried to change the maps, the Supreme Court basically overruled them because they were not doing it the same way. It's not just about changing the map. It's, can you defend the changes?
Well, and a lot of it was race baited, whole kind of thing, too. So, yeah.
So anyway, flipping the seats. And look, historically, a midterm like this, it favors the, who's ever not in the executive branch. In other words, Democrats generally would benefit in this scenario, just like Republicans have benefited when you had a Democratic president during a midterm. So this will be interesting, because I think this is, I don't think it's going to go along with what we've seen. Now, of course, I'm guessing, and I'm also being trying to stay positive.
Praying, pleading.
Basically.
All those things, yeah.
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 But this idea of this Democrat socialist communism, I don't know what you can do to shake people awake. Shake and wake.
Yeah, you hope that, as you're doing that story earlier on Mom Donnie, that people who've made the mistake early on here in the cycle have realized why we've made a mistake, and you hope they can influence others to not make the same mistake.
Again, you're optimistic as well.
I'm trying.
John Fetterman warns against pandering to radical socialist wing of the Democratic Party. Yep, we've addressed that as well. You let them in. You let these people in. You let the parasite live and breathe. And now they're sucking the blood out of you, Democrats. I don't think it's going to go. I don't think it's going to bode well for Democrats in general. And if it does, frankly, we're in trouble. 6:57 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And it is the day before Friday. Friday Eve, otherwise known as Thursday. Let's make the best of it on 97.3 The Sky.